Welcome to the Company Growth Podcast.
This is the Company Growth Podcast. This is Alicia Dominico.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico. If you believe like I do that people are integral and pivotal to the success of your company, here's something that your company could be suffering from because of who we are as people outside of our work. It's not something that we always think about, but if we feel scattered and drained outside of our work at work can actually suffer, and that means our company as a whole is somehow held back. In the same way that you might hire a company like SafeStart in order to think about how to keep your employees safe after hours, even beyond workplace compliance, I'm going to suggest that taking care and helping your team understand how to really self-care after work is just as important to the work that you can do while on the job or clocking in. Think about it. At home, most people have so many competing demands. You may have kids that you're trying to role model for, and you want to show that you handle stress well when you're living in a state of stress. You have a house that you have to maintain, even if you're renting. Your employees do, your team does, your CEO execs do. You have a whole network of sharing with friends and family that you want to nurture and spend time with. Then you have these self demands, like you should exercise and you feel guilty when you don't. You should eat right and take the time to make healthy food. Your relationship, where is your couple and how are you spending time nurturing them? And then amongst all of those competing priorities, where are you? If we aren't nurturing these pieces of ourselves, then it can filter through to our work and to our workplaces. If you're the leadership team in your company, then you have an additional stress. But if you're equally an employee, then you have the stress maybe of a lack of control or people asking you to do things. So they kind of even out. And I haven't even touched the surface of the lockdown and the pandemic as an additional stress. Fortunately, because we have this time of lockdown and life changing, we do have an opportunity to rewrite how we live our lives and how we function as a company. It is a chance, but thinking up what you're going to do to rewrite it can be just as hard. It's another should that you might not have time for. So in the vein of understanding that Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth and Daniel Goleman's Emotional Intelligence are so important to us, I want to start here by introducing the concept of values-based living and have my expert friend, Allison Villa, registered psychotherapist, relationship expert, entrepreneur, founder of House and Hook, and my favorite byline, she has been for 23 years one of my favorite people of all time. Allison, welcome to the show. I'm so glad that we have you to unbottle this and share with our company growth audience. So talk to me, Allison. What does it mean to live by your values?
Am I starting now?
Yes, you're starting now. Yeah, okay. We're good.
Okay, ask me again and then we can flow.
What does it mean to live by your values? When we talk about the concept of values-based living, there's probably a lot of people who don't even really know what does it mean to live a value-based life.
It's a great question. This word values gets thrown around. And so let's just start with the definition of values, which is values give direction on how you act, what you strive for, and what you deem as important. So really what that means is your values give you direction on how you choose to live your everyday life. Those day-to-day moments should be informed by your values.
So what do you do? Like, you know, how do you start a process? I mean, yes, it's good to say you should live by your values, but I'm guessing that people don't even stop and really sit to think about what their values are. I mean, I didn't know until you led me through an exercise. I actually had, I don't know that I could have ranked them. I may have had like an intuitive sense, but I wasn't really sure what to call it. And I was like, is that a value? Is that a legitimate value?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And you're right. First of all, it's very difficult to know what your values are when you are really busy and you're overscheduled and you're stretched, which I know so many of us are doing our best to slow life down a little bit, but we do need to make space to reflect so that we really can go inwards to figure out what our individual unique values are.
I remember those exercises that you did. I remember doing them in high school, and you would be like, okay, stop and reflect. You know, you read something, stop and reflect. And I remember always thinking, is this really necessary? But when you actually do stop and reflect, you do usually come up with some juicy nugget of truth.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love about getting clear on your values is that you realize how many things you do in your life that come from the outside, that come from other people's expectations of you. And I think mm-hmm. that's the difference here, is that when you take those moments to pause and reflect and make space, you get to ask yourself, okay, why do I do the things that I'm doing? What's actually important to me, as opposed to what's important to my family's expectations or my workplace expectations or my, you know, and the beautiful thing is that all of these can work together when we're being intentional. It's when we just start doing and saying yes to so many things from the outside that takes us away from our inside values.
Yep. And it's not, I like how you're saying they can all weave together. It's not necessarily you have to uproot your life and go live in a hippie compound. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you can be like, keep your job, but restructure the way that maybe you even react to things. Is that one of the tactics that would allow someone to kind of stop and make sure there's no disconnect between what they value and how they want to live each day on paper versus what they actually do each day?
I know. How can we break this down in a simple way? So I like to think about living by five values, because think about when you have a to-do list. If you have a long to-do list, it's very difficult to get through the whole thing. And it's the same thing with your values. If you have, there might be 20 things that you feel are really, really important to you. And then you realize, oh, wow, we only have so much time and space in our lives that you need to just figure out those top five and just start from there, like, and make that list. I value, eating well and moving my body regularly. Okay, that's value number one. And then it's almost like doing a backtrack to that. How can you, if that's important to you, how do you weave that into your everyday life or into your weekly schedule?
Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's a really important thing too, not to go too big too soon. Be like, every day I have to exercise. You've just made like another should on your life. But if you're that's like it. Weekly, I want to try and do it like 3 to 5 times and give yourself a bit of buffer room for life to get crazy, you to feel sick, or just to feel like, well, I'm not a big fan of just saying, I don't feel like exercising, because then I know I could say that week over week. I have to say to myself, don't think, just do when it comes to exercise, because I value it. So I feel like that, you know, you have to be careful between excuses, but at least allowing for, you know, things to get crazy.
Of course. And things are going to flow and you need to be gentle with yourself, of course, right? But that's why just starting with getting clear on those top five values, those five things that are really important to you that are non-negotiables, right? Often I hear family time. Our family, we value spending time as a family. And then when you really look back, okay, wait, how much time am I actually spending with my family? You know, non-pandemic times versus usual times. There's lots to discuss there. But maybe it's not just spending family time, but quality family time. What does that mean to you and your family specifically?
Yeah, I think, yeah. So how does someone go about doing that? How do they start to say, like, this is what it means to me specifically to spend quality time with my family?
Well, it's that first things first is checking in with yourself. And I always say this, I work often in couples and helping parents and families, but it always starts with each person as an individual coming back to themselves and taking care of themselves first. Your self-care is the foundation of every other relationship in your life. And so starting with your self-care, and then second step is making space, right? So if you do have a lot on your schedule, you need to carve out, you know, a good chunk of time once a week to just not be scheduled and to go and be with yourself and go for a walk and write, or be able to just flow with your family's needs in that moment instead of having an obligation to go to. Those are the first two things that you can do before even starting to get clear on your values, because you're not just going to be able to sit down and cram in, okay, I'm going to write my values list. There's so much more to it, right? You need to be in touch with yourself, and that's where the self-care piece starts. And then you fit in making the space to be flowing and to be spontaneous, really, I know a lot of people are overscheduled, and this idea of spontaneity, there's not a lot of room for it. Mm-hmm. So carving out like 3 hours on a Sunday, okay, we're not doing, and when I say we're not doing anything, we're not planning anything. It doesn't mean you're gonna sit there and do nothing. It just means that whatever's happening that day in that moment, whether you have a family or not, you're gonna just tune in to what feels good for you. What do you need in that day? Do you need to go slower that day and sit on the couch and read a book? Does your family need to get outside? Do they have energy that day? Do you want to go for a walk? Maybe someone's under the weather, so you're going to make some chicken soup, right? It's really giving yourself permission to be unscheduled in that moment and tune into everyone's needs. Does that make sense?
Totally. I mean, I think the whole giving yourself permission piece is something that we've heard a lot about. You know, if you're a Peloton rider like I am, if you're a digital app user, if you are, you know, going to any gym class, basically, or reading any kind of self-help and business books, I think we talk a lot about giving yourself permission to not have to do and to be unbusy for a moment. Mm-hmm. That's something you've seen on social media for a long while. And then I love this. I mean, it's kind of all coming full circle with the brain science that you and I would have heard about in high school, which was about you're only really good for 45 minutes at a time, and then you mm-hmm. should take a break.
Yeah.
So I think that brain science, and then understanding how it actually is kind of hard to lean into that sometimes because you feel so stressed, you feel so pressured, you don't feel like you can stop and give yourself permission because it's really hard to see the day break and to see the gaps that you'll have. I've been living this. I mean, I live this, but I am constantly reminded I've been trying to get to a couple of tasks that are sort of on the business tasks. And it's hard to make time for them, but I find if I just sit down and do them, the things that I felt like I was pushing off, I suddenly realize there's another block of time where I could do that thing and then I can get caught up. So it's hard to imagine that you can, it's hard to imagine that you can make the time for this, but you absolutely can and you need to in order to really probably feel good.
I love what you said right there because you do notice that when you take a few minutes to rest, and it's exactly what you said about the brain science, right? We work for 45 minutes and then we need a break. Our brain needs to rest. It's the same thing as when you put gas in your car. You could keep driving your car even when it's on empty. We know that it will still go and that it will still run on those fumes, but then it will crash and burn, right?
Right.
And it's the same idea. We want to keep your gas tank topped up. And to me, that is taking those breaks, taking that self-care time, making the space in your schedule to be unscheduled and to be spontaneous and to be open to whatever happens, right? And I do believe that we have learned that productivity, I feel like it's false learning. We've falsely learned that productivity means working all the time. And productivity is more about working smarter, not harder, right?
Yeah.
So if you can figure out, okay, I'm going to focus for these 45 minutes. And then I know something that I do. As a psychotherapist, I'm seeing clients. In between clients, I get up and I will do some sort of physical movement. I'll do 20 squats or I'll do 10 push-ups or I'll hold plank. I'll do something physical to get back into my body and to change my brain frequency and my body vibration, right?
That is so important. Like right there, changing mm-hmm. the frequency, changing the vibration. I think that's so relevant to companies because if we are in this sort of like push, push, push mentality in the way that we talk, mm-hmm. not only are you burning out, not only is your gas not tapped up, you're not your best. Your brain frequency can become stale, which sounds like the death of innovation.
Yes. And because so many people are working from home right now, we are missing the very, very important act of transitioning between home and work. Because that act of transitioning, it is a space where we decompress. Maybe you put in your headphones or you get in the car and you listen to the radio or your audiobook or you call your person. You know, there is a transition that happens between work and home. And right now with many people working from home, they open their door and then they're in another role where someone needs them usually, right? As a parent right. or a caregiver, right? So this is why the building in self-care is mandatory. It is so crucial for everyone's productivity and wellness.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And there is a great quote that says, just because you can't imagine something doesn't mean it's impossible. And I love that too, because it's hard to imagine the space. It's hard to imagine you doing anything different when you've got this long to-do around you. But the first step is to pause and reflect and find out. Like I like the idea of doing an audit where am I? What are the things that are important to me? Just carving out the space to do that first. And then how am I living that? How does my work address this thing that's important to me? How do my relationships, how do I take care of myself to address those things that are important to me? I bet there's a really big disconnect for a lot of people. They might be kind of shocked. And you probably have seen this. You see people making those lists, perhaps for the first time, of what is important to them, and then being like, where am I? How am I living these things? Or how many years have I spent not living these things?
Yes. How did I get so far from what really is important to me? And the good news is that you can come back to that. And if you haven't lived, if you haven't really experienced that type of living, value-based living, you can start. You just have to take one small step. This is the big thing, because we're in a state of overwhelm. And I know adding anything to your list feels like too much right now. We just need to remind ourselves, you just need to take one small step. Small steps have huge impact over time, right? If you think about, oh, I just wish that I started that last year, and where you would be this year, a year ago. So just think about that. Just one small step. Maybe today you hear this and you think, okay, I'm gonna take myself for a walk every Thursday. I'm gonna do it. And that's your one small step, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna get you to talk to everybody now about couples sandbox, because I think just that one night of maybe not watching Netflix and doing something with your couple instead, like taking the time to make your lists, or by yourself, taking the time to make your lists. It's just one night that you're not, you know, maybe you've just finished binging out on a series. It's like your reprieve from your TV zone to stop and be like, let's, or even just 20 minutes. Like I remember speaking to you about that my wife and I would stop and talk for 20 minutes as soon as the kids were done, before we went into kind of like our evening activities. And even if we went our separate ways and did different hobbies that night, we had that check-in point just for, you know, a quick 20 minutes. So why don't you explain the couple sandbox?
Yeah. So couple sandbox is a monthly membership program, and it is designed for couples to reclaim their passion and play, because we often find ourselves getting stuck in these household rhythms and moving away from each other. And so it gives you direction on, and everything is these small bite-sized lessons, 5 to 10 minutes, so that you can just, you know, watch a lesson together. And then I give you these prompting questions to ask and to be curious about yourselves. And it just helps you stay intentional. And like I said, it's not a huge investment of your time. It allows you to be intentional in a short amount of time, because that's all we really need to do, right? I don't want this to feel like overwhelming for people when they're listening. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes a little bit of intentional time. So connecting with each other helps you stay inspired, helps you feel like you are connected to each other, and that you as a couple in your relationship are building your life towards a common vision.
And I love that. I mean, I think it's so important in a personal relationship to spend the time, and for both people want to be like, I want to heal our couple, or I want to nourish and nurture our couple. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to know how to do that. So we'll make sure that the link for couple sandbox is there, because it can be facilitated for them in sort of like a gym membership kind of style. That's the model, right, Al?
Yes, exactly. So that it's really like a low monthly cost, but it keeps you accountable. Because sometimes when we buy an online course, which I have those too, and they're awesome. But I do know sometimes, even when I've got an online course, it'll just sit there because there isn't that accountability to check in. And so that's why I created Couple Sandbox, so that it's something we do bi-weekly. You get to show up together. Everyone is accountable and supportive of each other. And yeah, it helps you to stay inspired.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So in a way, it could be confronting enough to do that, or enough like kind of Kaizen improvement in yourself to do that with your couple. But in a way, it's also easier to do it for your couple than it might be to think about this in a workplace context. But do you see there's any opportunity to be doing this? Like if I'm a CEO and I want to, you know, our company is in the 10 people size at Tangible Words. Is there an opportunity? Is this the kind of thing that you could do in a workplace without it feeling too like, ooh, I don't want to cough up too much personal information?
That's a great question. And you know what, I would say maybe not looking at your relationship stuff with your colleagues, but if you are a CEO and you can understand and see the benefit of your employees having a thriving relationship and how that in turn affects how they show up in their work, then I think investing in your employees and giving them the tools like Sandbox to help them in their personal life is for sure going to have a positive impact on their work life.
Yeah, and I think companies kind of know that on a level, right? Like there's a big push in a lot of corporate accounts to partner with something like Good Life, or maybe that looks like Peloton now, but where you say, we want our employees to have a chance to stay fit and active because we value how that will help them show up to the office. But I don't think in the workplace it's ever really been talked about that we want to make sure that your personal life is great.
Yes.
But if someone's going through a divorce, that can be massively impactful in every area of their life, for example. We know that. We see that. You've probably worked with someone. It doesn't mean that you're not functioning and that you're not trying to do your best. It does, but it just means it's hard. It's extra hard. And, having some kind of emotional support. I mean, we talk about in some really dramatic cases we've seen, like maybe in the police force where there's counseling, and it's not really necessarily it's not ever portrayed in the way that I feel like that therapy should be portrayed. But I feel like we need to start having this conversation. And particularly, as Daniel Goleman published Emotional Intelligence, I think it was over at least 10 years ago now. And I'm a big fan of Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, and about this concept of coming up with a new consciousness about how we live and how will the world improve next. And certainly the pandemic has made us think about innovation and not doing status quo lifestyle anymore. We have this opportunity to stop and get really pensive and rebuild, redesign what we say yes to and what we say no to in our lives. I think it's an amazing opportunity, and I really hope that there's going to be a lot of companies like Tangible Words that will say, how can we help our people with their personal life, their emotional life, so that they show up really fulfilled each day and they enjoy their work, and that they see that we're the kind of company that is like, we want you to enjoy your life, not just work for us, not just clock in, clock out. We want this part of our company to be a critical piece of you feeling, you self-actualizing.
Yes, right? Helping your employees be proactive in their personal life and in their relationships, not waiting until they're going through a divorce and then offering them support, right? How can you be proactive, whether that's with their physical health or their emotional health or their relationship health, right? There's so many facets to a person. And I love what you're saying, Leash, about how do we look at our employees as entire whole people, right?
Yeah. I had a really interesting conversation last week with one of the founders of Safe Start, which is a company that I referenced in the intro about, it's one thing about safety training in the workplace is one thing, but a lot of the time, the injuries for your employees actually happens in their personal life when maybe they're doing like handiwork, they're up on the roof cleaning their gutters. Mm-hmm. Those injuries count. And I was sort of saying, well, even on a mercenary kind of bottom level line, you can say that if an employee gets injured outside of work, it's just as expensive to the company as if they get injured inside of work, because you've lost that person and all of that cultural knowledge that they have and all of those relationships and deals and projects that they were working on. I think it's, and so Safe Start is all about, the human factor training beyond compliance. How do we make sure that you, if you pick up a chainsaw on the weekend, like my friend just did, and he accidentally cut his knee while, working on his property, those are just things like we all have mistakes and we all like phase out when we're doing something, but accidentally you don't even know how it happened, but it can happen and be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like driving safe on the roads, all that kind of stuff. I like this idea of being like what Daniel Goleman and Eckhart Tolle say, which is think about your emotional health outside of work and how that helps you be more productive, more innovative, more creative at work.
Yeah, they're all connected, aren't they?
Well, we've just solved the world's problems. It is always amazing to talk to you. Is that something that they can always sign up for with a couple Sandbox? How does it work?
Well, a couple sandbox, if the doors are not actively open, there will be a wait list, and then you will know when the doors open again.
So they can get back in. That's great. And what are you doing for the rest of your day, Allison? What does a typical day look like when you're an entrepreneur and you are living your values?
Ooh, well, today I keep Mondays open because I like to start my week off answering emails and scheduling, like emailing my clients so they know what's happening for the week. And usually I spend this day with my own self-care. I went for a walk this morning, had a great talk with a friend, checked in with my husband about our week, and I'm actually getting a massage later today.
Yes. Right, people. All right. Values-based living. That is where it's at. Y'all need to prioritize and help your employees do the same. Any final thoughts, Al?
Oh, I just love that you are having this conversation. I think it's so important. And thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.